And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, saying, "Come and see."
Noise of Thunder Radio with Christian J. Pinto.
Okay, praise the Lord, you guys, and welcome. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today on the show, we're going to talk about a number of things going on in the country right now, not the least of which is what's being called a rather disturbing prediction by Bill Gates. Bill Gates is predicting a civil war as a result of the upcoming election in November. Rather odd comment from Bill Gates, but because he's one of these insiders who clearly knew about things pertaining to the coronavirus and COVID-19 before it happened, he made his predictions beforehand, much like Dr. Fauci. And then it happened later on. I mean, they were doing an Event 201, a dress rehearsal that his foundation was a part of just prior to the outbreak of COVID-19. And then it happens. So this is the reason why you've got people paying attention to what Bill Gates has recently said. And in fact, there is an article on the Gateway Pundit that covers this issue. The headline says, "Creepy Bill Gates makes ominous prediction. We're going to have a hung election and a civil war. Misinformation may bring it all to an end." Okay, so we have that going on. And then we have Vladimir Putin. Vladimir Putin has now annexed part of the Ukraine. They're calling this a big land grab or whatever, but it says Putin annexes four regions of Ukraine forever. And we have some audio of Putin making a speech on this with a translator. Let's listen.
The choice of millions of people in Donetsk, Lugansk, Zaporozhye, and Kherson regions encompasses hundreds of years, and this is the link, the spiritual link that we carried throughout these years, embedded in the love to Russia. Nobody can destroy this love. They're becoming our citizens forever.
Okay, so he says, our citizens forever. This is actually what many people predicted Vladimir Putin was going to do. We've been talking about this on the radio program, that his ambition was never to take over the Ukraine. His ambition was simply to defend the ethnic Russian Ukrainians in the east, in the Donbas region, which is now what this whole maneuver is about. If you go look at a map of the areas in Donetsk and Luhansk and the other two territories that they have annexed, it's all eastern Ukraine. And this is what many analysts were saying from the beginning, that Putin's ambition was not to take over Ukraine, only to defend the ethnic Russians in the east, who had been getting shelled and attacked and really slaughtered by the Zelensky government for some 8 years before the invasion happened. And that was the whole reason for the invasion. Also, remember, when I say the Zelensky government, I don't necessarily mean Zelensky himself. The new Ukrainian government that hijacked the system in 2013 and 14 was not originally led by Zelensky. He was brought in later on. So now that Vladimir Putin has annexed these territories, they are now declared to be part of Russia. And what that means is if they are attacked, it is now seen as an attack on Russia itself. So it is seen as an act of war against Russia. Now, not just against Ukraine, but against Russia. That creates a whole new set of problems for NATO and the United States and everyone involved. And at the same time, Putin has declared a holy war on Western Satanism. Putin is denouncing Western civilization right now, which is going to be Western Europe, the United States, Canada, at least, because of all of this unnatural, homosexual, LGBT, transgender insanity that is going on, which many of us agree with what Putin is saying. This is why the situation in the Ukraine and with Russia is not as cut and dry as a lot of people want to make it to be. And I've been trying to talk about this and warn people about this really since 2013. And I've had some people who are very critical because it sounded like I'm supporting Putin, and they don't realize, no, I'm not really supporting Vladimir Putin. I'm supporting Christianity and the traditional beliefs of Western civilization, which are really what's under attack right now. And this war in the Ukraine, Zelensky and the Azov battalion, they do not represent the principles of freedom. They don't represent any of that. They represent the European Union. The European Union is driven by homosexuals, pedophiles, and socialists, and Jesuits. That's what's running the EU. And they want to take over the Ukraine. I mean, the whole thing is just a big mess over there. But it's, as I've said before, and I still believe, I think the European Union is far more dangerous to America and to the Western world than anything having to do with Russia or China, either one. I think those are secondary problems. The real problem is the European Union and the globalists who manipulate it. And in my view, they are the agents of modern popery, because that's what we're dealing with, folks. Modern Jesuitism and popery. Speaking of which, yes, our documentary on American Jesuits is moving forward. In fact, I have been working on the editing and getting everything ready to put this thing in its final format. It's still going to take several months to get it all complete, but we are moving forward with the work. Definitely. We appreciate your prayers and your support along the way. But Putin's assertion that the West has become satanic, well, to a certain extent, we would have to agree with him. The transgender movement is the most openly satanic movement that we have seen in my lifetime. I mean, that's my view of it. And sure, you could point to people like Anton LaVey, who founded the Church of Satan, or Aleister Crowley, and people like this who were openly satanic, but those people were not openly embraced by the United States government. Those people were not openly embraced by a political party who started teaching their values in our schools. But now this transgenderism, where they're going in and they want to manipulate underage boys and girls and mutilate them and have them physically altered in such a way that they're not going to be able to turn back. They won't be able to undo the damage once it has been done. This is what is so horrific about this transgender movement, and the fact that they are willing to destroy the lives of children this way on behalf of their dark and evil agenda is just horrific. I was talking to a brother over the phone earlier today about it. It's just unbelievable that this could happen. So we have to agree with anyone who would denounce this as satanic. Now, the difference, of course, is that the vast majority of Americans in our country do not agree with this evil movement. I would say 98% of Americans do not agree with what is going on with this transgenderism in the schools and so on. But people are being manipulated politically. They're being threatened. There is a lot of intimidation tactics that are being employed. And all of this is driving our country one way or another to a grand climax. What that will be, the Lord knows. We need to continue in prayer. But between Vladimir Putin and the situation in Ukraine and Putin threatening nuclear war, this has been featured in headlines continuously for weeks, actually for several months now. Now you've got Pope Francis openly saying and repeatedly saying that World War III is here, that right now the war in Ukraine is World War III or the beginning of World War III. In fact, let me play you some audio. This is from the publication RomeReports.com, and they apparently publish this in different languages, and so they have an English language audio of this. Listen.
In a conversation with editors of Jesuit journals published by the Italian periodical La Civiltà Cattolica, Pope Francis lamented the outbreak of what he calls a third world war and criticized NATO's role in the conflict.
Okay, so there you hear some audio for how it's being reported by official Vatican sources. The Jesuits are saying the same thing, that they are quoting Pope Francis, who has declared this is World War III, basically. Now, when the Jesuits come out and they say that, and they publish that in something like America Magazine, they don't do anything of that nature casually. They're publishing that for a reason. Here's another article from NationalGunBroker.com, and they've got the headline, Pope, the Russia-Ukraine War is a World War. And this is a very recent article. And here's what it says. It says, quote, once again, Pope Francis is claiming the world is already fighting a world war. The Pope said on a recent trip to Kazakhstan that it is a mistake to call the conflict in Ukraine the Russia-Ukraine war, since in reality, it is a world war. Okay. And then it goes on from there. It says, this is not the first time the Pope has said that the globe is fighting a world war. According to news outlets close to the Vatican, the Pope met with some Jesuit priests during his visit to Kazakhstan in mid-September. It is reported that during the visit, the spiritual leader of Catholics and the president of the Vatican made a statement to the Jesuit publication La Civiltà Cattolica, and during the meeting, he spoke about the ongoing Russia-Ukraine war. Quote, there is a war going on. I think it is a mistake to think of it as a cowboy movie where there are good guys and bad guys. It is also a mistake to think that this is a war between Russia and Ukraine. No, it's a world war. Okay, so they give the full quote there. Now think about that. The Pope is not just casually telling us that this is World War III. He's saying it is a mistake if you don't understand it as World War III. You need to understand this. This is World War III. And I think really what's going on, this is the beginning of what is going to become World War III, that this conflict, just as people have been predicting now for months, is going to escalate and it's going to get worse and worse. Now that Putin has annexed these territories from Ukraine and made them a permanent part of Russia, what it means is that if any powers, if NATO attacks those areas, it is politically seen as an attack on Russian soil. And it throws this conflict into a completely different category. And that's what everybody's warning about, that this is going to lead to more and more escalation, and it's going to lead to full-blown World War III in such a way that everybody's going to acknowledge it, just like they did with World War I and World War II. If you study World War I and World War II, you recognize it's not as though the conflict suddenly began and everybody said, okay, this is World War I. Or, okay, this is World War II. A series of events happened, much like what we're seeing right now. And they escalated, and more people got involved, more and more armies got involved, and before long, they became world wars. That's the direction all of this appears to be heading. And so in the midst of this, it's very interesting that we have somebody like Bill Gates, who is a Jesuit. He and Melinda Gates, in my opinion, are Jesuits. I would call them Jesuit coadjutors or Jesuits of the short robe. Why? Because Melinda Gates has a Jesuit in her family, and because they give millions of dollars a year to the Jesuit order and their Cristo Rey education programs, which we've talked about on the program before. So they finance Jesuit activities here in the United States. They may be financing Jesuit activities elsewhere. That we're not sure about right now, but I know that they finance Jesuit education programs and that they have a very direct link to the Jesuit order through a family member. Now, all of this is coming full circle. It's all coming full circle. I don't believe. In fact, when Pope Francis became the Pope and he was the first Jesuit Pope, I did an interview at Worldview Weekend with Brandon House, and he and I talked about this. And he asked me what I thought was going on. And I said, I believe they are putting their people into positions of power because they are getting ready for the next big push to drag our country into a totalitarian system one way or the other, because that's their ultimate goal. As Napoleon said, the aim of this order is power, power in its most despotic exercise. On this note, now that we're talking about all this, one of our listeners, one of our dear supporters out in Colorado, Jason, who sends us some great material and does a great job with research, has forwarded to me the Congressional Record Online for when the U.S. Congress, I don't even remember when this happened, but February 29th of the year 2000, the United States Congress formally denounced Bob Jones University, formally denounced BJU, a well-known, very conservative Christian university. You can go online, read about Bob Jones University. Very, you know, they've modified some things, but they're still very conservative. And the U.S. Congress felt they had to go out of their way to denounce Bob Jones University. And so here's the resolution. It says Senate Concurrent Resolution 85, condemning the discriminatory practices prevalent at Bob Jones University. Congressional Record, Volume 146, Number 20. And here's what it says. Whereas the Senate strongly rejects the practices of racism, segregation, and intolerance based on religious beliefs, whereas the administration of Bob Jones University enforces a segregationist policy by prohibiting interracial couples on the Bob Jones University campus, whereas officials of Bob Jones University routinely disparage those of other religious faiths with intolerant and derogatory remarks, whereas officials of Bob Jones University have likened the Pope of the Roman Catholic Church to a possessed demon and branded Catholicism as a, quote, satanic system and religion of the Antichrist, whereas the website of Bob Jones University greets visitors with the university's belief that Catholicism and Mormonism are cults, and whereas senior officials of Bob Jones University have made openly racist remarks on many occasions regarding African Americans and Asian Americans, now therefore, be it resolved by the Senate, the House of Representatives concurring, that Congress, one, condemns practices such as those prevalent at Bob Jones University that seek to discriminate against and divide Americans on the basis of race, ethnicity, and religion, and two, strongly denounces individuals who seek to subvert the American ideals of inclusion, equality, and social justice, period. And social justice. Now, for me, this declaration is, as soon as I read this, I said to myself, okay, if we had to point to a date where we could say, at this point, the Jesuit order is clearly in control of Washington, D.C., I think it would have to be this declaration in the year 2000. Why? Because notice what they're making reference to here at the end. The American ideal of social justice. Social justice is not an American doctrine. It is a Jesuit doctrine founded or developed in 1843 by the Jesuit Luigi Taparelli. That is where the term social justice begins. But isn't it fascinating that Congress felt they had to go out of their way to denounce Bob Jones University for, among other things, calling the Pope the Antichrist? All right, we're going to go to our commercial break. We will talk more about this whole idea of Bill Gates and his prediction about civil war when we come back right after this.
Adullam Films presents a stunning new documentary, The True Christian History of America, exploring the Bible-based Christian origins of the early American view of freedom, tracing the principles of liberty back to England and the Great Reformation. For many years, our schools have taught that the founding of our republic was from the deists or the Enlightenment in France. But is that truly the case? Did the Enlightenment first declare no taxation without representation or trial by jury? Were they the champions of freedom of speech or of the press or the right to bear arms? And why did Samuel Adams declare that the reign of political Protestantism would commence just before signing the Declaration of Independence? Filmed on location in both the United States and Europe, The True Christian History of America is now available at adullamfilms.com. That's adullamfilms.com. Now available at noiseofthunderradio.com. That's noiseofthunderradio.com.
Adullam Films presents an exciting new documentary, Bridge to Babylon, part 3 in an award-winning series on the untold history of the Bible. Dr. Jack Moorman calls it a masterful presentation of what is the single most important issue facing Christians today, the defense of the Bible as the Word of God. Why was the Bible changed in 1881? Why have so many churches abandoned biblical inerrancy? And what direction are scholars taking the Scriptures today? Learn the truth in Bridge to Babylon, the sequel to A Lamp in the Dark and Tares Among the Wheat. Bridge to Babylon is now available at noiseofthunderradio.com. That's noiseofthunderradio.com.
Noise of Thunder Radio.
Okay, we are back. Praise the Lord, you guys. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today on the show, we are going over when Congress openly denounced Bob Jones University. Now, of course, they claim that they're denouncing Bob Jones University because the university forbids interracial dating. This is where they're trying to tie racism into anti-Catholicism. We've been watching them do that now since 2008, since Obama. They have related racism to being anti-gay or being anti-trans or being against illegal immigration. They know that Americans believe in racial equality, true racial equality, that a man should not be judged by his skin color, but by the content of his character. And I would argue we generally believe it as Americans from a biblical perspective. That's where it really began in this country and I think in the Western world. But the communists have bent and twisted the idea to turn it into a political weapon so that race baiting is now the norm. But notice what they're doing. They're trying to associate the concept of racism with being anti-Catholic and with calling the Pope the Antichrist. If you think the Pope's the Antichrist, well, you're a racist. That's basically the direction that they went with it. There is also an article from the New York Post back in the year 2000, and the Post headline says, "Keeping up with the Catholic bashing Joneses," meaning Bob Jones, obviously. And one of the quotes here I wanted to read says, quote, "In 1978, BJU president Bob Jones Jr. had this to say upon the death of the Roman pontiff, quote, Pope John Paul VI, archpriest of Satan, a deceiver and an antichrist, has, like Judas, gone to his own place," end quote. Then the article says, quote, "This sounds like the kind of vile anti-Catholic line you'd expect from Northern Ireland's radical Protestant leader, the Reverend Ian Paisley. The hot-headed loudmouth has advocated violence against Catholics and denounced the Catholic Church as, quote, the mother of harlots and the abomination of the earth." Interestingly, the article does not point out that that's actually a quote from the book of Revelation, not just Dr. Ian Paisley. But notice they've got to go out of their way to denounce Dr. Paisley and call him a hot-headed loudmouth. But of course, there's no negative commentary on the Pope. Even though this article was published in the year 2000, they could have made reference to a lot of different things. They could have talked about how, for example, the Catholic priesthood and the nuns helped take part in the Rwanda genocide back in 1994, just 6 years earlier, that was well documented and well known, so much so that Pope Francis had to offer an apology to Paul Kagame, the president of Rwanda, in the year 2017. But no mention, no criticism of the papacy. And also the reference there that Dr. Ian Paisley inspired violence against Catholics is a provably false assertion. Dr. Paisley himself never promoted or advocated violence against the Catholic community. It was the Catholics and Sinn Féin and the IRA. They were the ones who were carrying out the acts of violence there in Northern Ireland, which is well known. In fact, you can get the book. There's even a book on this that was done years ago by Avro Manhattan. And the book is called, where is it? I've got a copy here. Catholic Terror in Ireland by Avro Manhattan. Catholic Terror in Ireland. And what does he say here? He talks about, he says at one point, quote, "The nationalists never resigned themselves unto the division," that is the division that was created in Northern Ireland in the Ulster area where the Protestants had control. So the nationalists, who are the Catholics, he says, quote, "They vowed to destroy Ulster in order to reunite that lost province to mother country. To achieve this goal, political and paramilitary entities were organized, blessed and supported by the government of Southern Ireland and by the Catholic Church. The latter's role was an active, although at times a cautious one. Her political and fighting instruments, especially the two most notorious, the Sinn Féin and its militia, and the Irish Republican Army, IRA, were less cautious. Active guerrilla warfare turned swiftly into systematic terrorism." Okay, so that's just a quote from Avro Manhattan's book on the situation there in Northern Ireland, but you can find that book online. And Avro Manhattan, of course, wrote extensively about the activities of the Vatican, the Jesuits, and really what I would call the Counter-Reformation movement after World War II. And a lot of the groundwork was being laid even before World War II for things that are happening even today. But that's what it is. Globalism, from my view, is all part of the Counter-Reformation. Now, I understand that most researchers don't see it that way. I see it that way because of my perspective on history, and I can trace the history from the Counter-Reformation into the French Revolution. And from the French Revolution, the ideas of which were developed at the University of Ingolstadt, the Jesuit headquarters there, into the 19th century, where they develop social justice through Luigi Taparelli. Then they're working with Karl Marx, and then you have the development of socialism and communism. So it all ultimately blends together once you understand the history. And I think this is the reason why in the book of Revelation, we are warned chiefly about mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. Think of the use of that word abominations, and the great harlot has her cup full of her abominations. The word abomination is used over and over again concerning homosexual practices. You have undoubtedly the most famous verse in the Old Testament, Leviticus chapter 18 and verse 22, where it says, "Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind." It is abomination. It is abomination. Now, you've had actually, incredibly, there have been people, modern textual critics, have tried to spin doctor this verse. There's even an op-ed in the New York Times back in 2018 from a so-called biblical scholar named Eden Dershowitz. Eden Dershowitz, who claims that supposedly an earlier version of Leviticus may have somehow or other permitted homosexual practices. The problem with that, of course, is that the behavior is condemned repeatedly, even before Leviticus. Now, he denies this. He says, quote, "Before Leviticus was composed, outright prohibitions against homosexual sex, whether between men or women, were practically unheard of in the ancient world," which is simply not true, because the events that take place at Sodom and Gomorrah were long before Leviticus, and yet the behavior was known to be unnatural and immoral even at that time. Also, remember, when God lists all of the perversions in Leviticus chapter 18, and he says to the children of Israel that they shall not do these things, neither shall the stranger who dwells among them, he then says it's because of all of these things that the Canaanites are being driven out of their land, that the land is spewing them out. So in other words, they did not have the written law of God as Moses had it. But what they had was the law of nature in the creation, and they had God's law written on their hearts, or the work of the law written on their hearts, according to Romans chapter 2. And so God is holding them accountable because they are guilty of all these abominations, and they've defiled the land in which they live, and so now they've got to be driven out. All right, so that's Leviticus chapter 18. Then you go to Deuteronomy chapter 22 and verse 5, and it says very clearly something becoming increasingly more important in the world we live in today. Verse 5 says, "The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are abomination unto the Lord thy God." All that do so are abomination unto the Lord thy God. So here we have transgenderism being very clearly condemned by God's law. And nothing changes in the New Testament. Romans chapter 1 specifically describes men burning in lust one for another, saying that this behavior is condemned clearly. Then we have 1 Corinthians chapter 6, which says, "Be not deceived, homosexuals will not inherit the kingdom of God." Now, we also acknowledge that there are other things in the Bible that are called an abomination. There's no question. But Rome, Mystery Babylon, has the cup full of her abominations. And there's no question that at this point in history, Roman Catholicism is the chief promoter of the LGBT movement. And I think it is no accident that while we have the Jesuit pawns, Joe Biden, Nancy Pelosi, and those who are sitting, the Jesuit-educated judges on our Supreme Court, that they have ushered in this transgender nightmare into modern times. And now the latest the latest nightmare we discovered here a short time ago, that Vanderbilt Hospital, which is nationally renowned for their children's hospital, they now have a transgender wing at Vanderbilt. Now, we knew Vanderbilt was liberal. That we've known since we've lived in Tennessee. But to find out that they are now openly promoting this transgenderism to children is just very, very disturbing. Breitbart News now has an article that says Barbara Bush Children's Hospital offers transgender drugs, hormones to children. The Barbara Bush Children's Hospital. Now, it's important to say that Barbara Bush has herself passed away. She's no longer with us. So you can't necessarily say that she would somehow or other approve of this. In fact, that's part of the controversy here. You've got people who are, let me see. Well, here's what the article says. It says, quote, "The Barbara Bush Children's Hospital at the Maine Medical Center has a gender clinic that offers gender-affirming hormone therapy and other medical interventions to children to prevent natural biological development. Neither the George H.W. Bush Presidential Library nor the George W. Bush Presidential Library," so both Bushes, "neither library responded to Breitbart News' comment request asking if they consider these services for children a part of Barbara Bush's legacy." So as of today, there's been no official statement one way or the other from the Bush family as to whether or not they agree with what's going on. Now, I have to tell you, I generally think the Bushes are going to be in support of this because of the direction that they've taken since they officially got out of politics. They have leaned to the left. It's important to remember H.W. Bush, Bush Sr., was Mr. New World Order. Then his son, George W. Bush, as we show you in our film Secret Mysteries, Part 1, The New Atlantis, Bush makes reference to the new order of the ages and declares that this is meant to be fulfilled. So the Bush family are globalists. They are very close to Bill Clinton, by their own admission. They all admit they all hang out together. These are globalists, and the globalists are moving society and the world in this direction, down the path of Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, I don't believe that means all is lost and that there is no hope. Not at all. Why? Because Sodom and Gomorrah did not stand indefinitely. You have the account of the Benjamite tribe in the book of Judges. If you go and you study what happens with the Benjamite war that goes on, the Benjamites, their tribe, had the story of this Levite who's traveling, and he stops in a town in the Benjamite territory, and he stays at a home with an older man, and he has his concubine. The Levite has his concubine. And then certain Benjamites surround the house in a way that's very similar to Sodom and Gomorrah. And they say to send out this Levite so that they can violate him. And the owner of the house comes out and says, no, don't do this. And then he offers, it's almost like Lot at Sodom and Gomorrah, very, very similar, offers his virgin daughter and the concubine. Says, here, take them, but don't do such a thing to this man. Just like Lot at Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, the arguments, if you read commentaries on this, was that in the ancient world, the idea of men violating each other this way was seen as so unnatural, so against the laws of nature, that it would be better to subject a woman to it, even though they knew that rape was wrong, it's condemned by God's law, but it was better to do that because at least you are still obeying the principles of nature with the male and the female. And so their perception was that it was better to hand over the women for this kind of thing. even though they wouldn't agree with it. But it's better to do that than for men to violate another man. That was the thinking. And it's really very interesting. It shows you how repulsive homosexual practices are from a biblical perspective, that they are seen as completely unnatural, completely against God's natural order, against God's law, against the law of nature and of nature's God, which is the foundation of American law, which is why I argue that homosexual so-called rights in any form are not at all constitutional. In fact, they're anti-constitutional. They are against the Constitution of the United States. They're in violation of the Constitution of the United States. They have no place in our country. And now you have this situation where they are normalizing this in the, not just the schools, colleges, and universities, but now in the hospitals and the children's hospitals. And it's coming from the brainwashing, just like what went on in Nazi Germany. There were many people who came to believe that Jews were in fact subhuman, and that's just how it is. And Dr. Mengele and the other scientific professionals in Nazi Germany they're the experts. They know these things. So they accepted the arguments that they were being given. And that's how they were able to normalize persecution against the Jewish people. But we have a responsibility. We have a duty before God to recognize deception when it's happening. I continually look to what the Lord Jesus Christ says when he says, "Take heed that no man deceive you." We have a responsibility to avoid deception in as much as we are able. I mean, nobody's going to be perfect at it. But nevertheless, this is an obvious deception in many ways. It's a system of lies that has been put together and is being promoted actively in our system. And from a Christian perspective, there's no question where this is headed. This is headed to the conclusion of outlawing Christianity. That's where this is headed, folks. Eventually, if this is allowed to continue, it's going to arrive at the same destination that Sodom and Gomorrah arrived, that the Benjamite tribe arrived. And that is that normal people who obey God cannot simply live their lives. You will not be able to. You'll be surrounded by sodomites and sexual perverts, and they will demand that you conform to homosexual supremacy. That's where all of this is headed. In fact, just look at what has been going on over in Finland, where this has progressed even farther than it is here in America. You have a Finnish member of parliament. Her name is Päivi Räsänen. P-A-I-V-I Räsänen, Päivi Räsänen. And she is an outspoken Christian woman, the wife of a Christian minister, praise the Lord. She's always smiling. And in fact, there is an article about her on christianpost.com. And it says, quote, "Christian MP says prosecution for tweeting Bible verse on homosexuality is a privilege." In other words, she embraces being prosecuted because she is taking a stand for the law of God and God's righteousness. Praise the Lord. So the article says, quote, "A Christian politician in Finland who faces the possibility of 6 years in prison for sharing her deeply held political beliefs on sexuality and marriage says it's quite a privilege to be interrogated for her religious beliefs. Parliament member Päivi Räsänen, who was interrogated by police for over 13 hours and questioned on how she interprets the Apostle Paul's letters in the Bible, will appear in court next Monday over criminal charges for voicing her belief on marriage and sexuality. She authored a 2004 booklet on sexual ethics describing marriage as between one man and one woman. She also expressed her views on a 2019 radio show and tweeted church leadership on the matter. Now, think about it. They're going after her because of something she wrote back in 2004. Also consider that she's an MP. She's a member of parliament. So just because she was involved in the government, that doesn't mean that they're giving her an exemption. They're still going after her. If they'll go after somebody like this, they'll go after anybody else. All right, I want to play. I found some video and audio online of an interview with her. I want to play just a little bit of it so you can hear her describing herself and her background. Listen.
Yes, my name is Päivi Räsänen. I'm living in Finland in a little town of Riihimäki, quite near to our capital, Helsinki. And by my education, I'm a medical doctor. I worked as a doctor for 10 years before my political career. I'm married to a pastor. We have been married since 1985, and we have 5 grown-up children. I have been a member of parliament over 26 years, since 1995. And I have also served government. I have been appointed as a Minister of Interior 2011. And I was 4 years as Minister of Interior. And I was also in charge of immigration issues of police and emergency issues. And then I was in charge of church affairs. I have been also chair of my party, Finnish Christian Democrats, for 11 years. I have been a member of almost all committees in parliament because my career has been so long.
All right. So you hear a little bit about her background. She's a doctor. She's been a member of parliament for many years there. She's been the head of different committees and so on. She is a prominent citizen in many ways. She's a mother. Now she's a grandmother. She also talks about that. I've edited around her testimony, just so you know, to get to the heart of these issues where she's being prosecuted. And now I'm going to play this next part where she talks about how these troubles began. They began because her church was being compromised on the issues pertaining to homosexuality. And she took a stand, and initially her comments were to members of her church. Listen.
How did this whole case start?
Yes, the whole process started in June 2019. I was shocked when I heard that my church decided to support the Helsinki Pride event. And at that time, many of my friends wanted to resign church for that because they found that there was a strong contradiction between Bible and the church's decision. And I was also thinking, what should I do now? Should I resign my church or what should I do? And in fact, I was praying and I became convinced that it is not my time to leave the church, but try to wake up those who are sleeping, because I was worried that when there is such a contradiction between the Bible and what the church had decided, it will break down the people's trust upon the Bible. And it would be very dangerous if the Christians do not anymore trust on the Bible. I took a photo from the Bible and posted it in Twitter and asked the leadership of my church that how is it possible that what Bible calls sin and shame, you are now supporting as a pride?
Wow, that is powerful. That is a question, the question that she confronted her church with. And if you watch this videotaped testimony, they show the portion from her Finnish Bible that she took. She took a photograph of what the scripture says about homosexual practices. But I really appreciate the fact that she is adamant about defending the Bible as the word of God. And that, of course, If Christians don't believe the Bible, if Christians are not walking in obedience to God's commands according to Scripture, how can the unbelieving world put faith and confidence in the Scripture as the Word of God? It's the reason why we have spoken against modern textual criticism for so many years. If the people who are being called Christians and the so-called theological experts are constantly chipping away at the Bible and questioning this passage and this verse, etc., how is the outside world going to believe that the Bible is the inspired Word of God? But let's listen to her description of what happened afterwards. Listen.
And after that, some citizen made a complaint to police, and police started to investigate that. And then after that, there were many other criminal complaints that some citizens made about a booklet that was written much earlier, 2004, and some radio and TV programs where I was talking about these issues.
So notice what happens. Now, of course, who are these citizens who are calling the police and so on? Undoubtedly members of the gay community. And maybe there's some leftist radicals who are doing it, whether or not they're gay, we don't know. But notice what's happened. This is homosexual supremacy, where the homosexual standard is the new standard. And anybody who criticizes it or opposes it must be punished, must be confronted, because now the law must be made to conform to gay law, to homosexual law, sodomite law, the law of Sodom and Gomorrah, where Lot says to the Sodomites, "Sirs, do not do so wickedly," and they say, "Will you be the judge of us?" That's what's happening. And inasmuch as this has happened throughout Western Europe in different ways, in Finland, they're taking it to the next level now. They are threatening this Christian woman with up to 6 years in prison for simply speaking out, simply posting a verse from the Bible. The Inquisition is coming back into power in Europe right now. Because remember, the Inquisitors outlawed the Bible. Now, I've talked about on this program before how I believe that many of the Inquisitors were homosexuals. And the reason they outlawed the Bible had a lot to do with the fact that they didn't want people to know what the Bible said. And if you study the history of King Henry VIII, King Henry VIII, the way he drove out the Inquisition was by passing the Buggery Act of 1533, where he outlawed homosexual practices and then drove the homosexual priests and monks out of England. Then he legalized the Bible. And so the Bible was published in English and read aloud in all the churches. Well, after Henry dies, and sometime later, Bloody Mary comes into power, Bloody Mary reversed everything. She outlawed the Bible, and then she overturned the Buggery Act so she could bring back the homosexual priest and start burning Christians at the stake. That's what happened. Go look up that history if you don't know it. But that's what happened. And if then, of course, Bloody Mary dies, once she's gone, Queen Elizabeth comes in, and then she goes back to what had been before. She legalizes the Bible, brings back the Buggery Act, drives out the homosexual priests again, and then you have the English Reformation from there is empowered politically. So my reason for saying that is the Sodomites have risen up over and over again throughout history. We read about it in the Old Testament. It happened in England and really was happening in different parts of Europe. Martin Luther wrote about this. And that's what we're dealing with right now. The Sodomites want totalitarian control, and they want to force everybody in submission to them and their standard. And they're not looking for some sort of toleration. They're looking for absolute power. The power to be completely in charge of everything. From the time your child is born, they want to erase the gender of your child. They want to erase your title as father or mother. You can no longer be called a father or a mother. They want to take all of that away. And why? Because parents are the protectors of children. And so they want to raise up your children, but they want to raise them according to this LGBT standard, this ungodly antichrist ideology that is satanic to the core. And we are not called to cooperate with this at all. We are called to resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So we're called to resistance according to the word of God. And praise the Lord for a brave Christian people like this brave woman over in Finland right now, who I think is an example to us all. And whenever I say, I've followed this story now for a while, whenever I see video or photographs or whatever, she always has this bright smile on her face. Praise the Lord. It's like she has so much joy, even in the midst of these trials. And remember, the apostles, when they were persecuted, they thanked God that they had been accounted worthy to suffer for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. All right, brethren, that is going to do it for us today. That is our show. We will stop it there, but we will be back next time as the Lord leads us. Until then, God bless you guys. I'm Chris Pinto, and you've been listening to Noise of Thunder Radio.